Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to MyPillow.com and put in the code word Kate. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the products. They have specials all the time. But these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything. Completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1052 or go to MyPillow.com and simply put in the code word Kate. Thanks, you guys.
Can the daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables fit into just 6 capsules? Yes. We start by sourcing organically grown whole fruits and vegetables. We ensure they are picked at peak ripeness. All of our produce is third-party tested for pesticides, heavy metals, bad bacteria, and nutrients. They are then washed, cut, and put through an advanced vacuum cold process, which removes the water using pressure. This maximizes the nutritional value while preserving the color, smell, and taste of the fruit or vegetable. The freeze-dried food is then ground into a fine powder without adding any additives, fillers, or extracts. These powdered foods are then mixed in our proprietary blends and encapsulated, locking out air and moisture. The capsules are then bottled and shipped directly to our customers. Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
If you haven't been genetically modified yet, there's still time. Pfizer's trial doesn't end until 2023. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
This thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. If you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code.
I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
With synthetic RNA, DNA, it's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do anything. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence. So, I mean, caterpillars do it.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show on a Friday. And I have Uncle Milty with me. How are you?
I'm good.
Glad you're with me today, sir. And let me just tell you, today it's going to be an interesting show today, Off the Beaten Path. And on Fridays, we kind of like to go off the beaten path a little bit. And let me tell you, we're gonna get into a subject that is so interesting and fascinating to me with the questions that are going to be posed. And we're going to veer into, remember the great flood that we read about. And so we're going to be talking about that. And I have author Gary Wayne with us, which is going to be just a very explosive show, a great show. And I love to go places that no one else will go. And so, of course, I welcome you to the program. Gary Wayne, how are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for inviting me to guest on your show. And
absolutely,
very much looking forward to the conversation today.
Absolutely. His book, I have it, it's great. The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and the Descendants of Giants Plan to Enslave Humankind. And let me just tell you, Gary Wayne is an author. He is a Christian contrarian who's maintained a lifelong love affair with biblical prophecy and history and mythology. And his extensive study has encompassed the Bible and the Quran and all kinds of different works and ancient works and secret society publications. And you pose some very interesting questions, and it's kind of right on the heels of looking at Time magazine and not even believing what I'm reading here. But Time magazine, about a day ago, just posted this article. And it was, scientists report creating the first embryo with human and non-human primate cells. Half human, half primate. The first embryo. This was on Time magazine a day ago. And I had to read it again because I thought I was reading like Babylon Bee. I thought I was reading The Onion, and I looked at it again, and it was Time magazine, and I thought, oh my gosh, for Time Magazine to print something like this, we are so in trouble with where we're headed. And that's a little bit about what we're going to be discussing today. Where are we headed and where are we now, right?
Oh, yeah.
The similarities.
This is about organ transplantation, though, not about making slave animals.
He rolls his eyes. Yeah. It's the soft selling of some very, very strange technology that we're doing and some very, that you should be questioning. You should be questioning where we're going with this. And so, as an audience, but Gary, I'm so happy to have you. And so this book is causing quite a stir, Genesis 6. And give us kind of an overall kind of a summary of this work before we launch in.
Yeah, it's one of those reads that you're not going to finish in one night, but what it is a 6,000-year connect-the-dots summary of our history and of many nexus points that are in the antediluvian epoch, not only biblical, but belief systems and history recorded all around the world, and what caused that apocalypse and how those organizational structures and the House of Dragon, as I like to call them, in the book, and their belief system crossed the flood, how they affected our history, what they're doing today, and what they're trying to bring about. And throughout the book, what I try and do, because I will reach into sources from secular history, sources from secret societies, sources from religions all around the world and their scriptures and their history and their mythology, and show the direct links and parallels and let them speak for themselves without any manipulation so that people can see how we have a common history and a common destiny.
Well, I love that.
And it's very important in this period that we're in with some of the things that you're just mentioning to understand that what has been will be again. And so it's very, very important to start to properly understand what our common history is so we can understand what's going on today.
I so agree with you, Gary. And I just wanted to mention in that clip, I forgot to say, that was Tal Zaks of Moderna, chief operating officer of Moderna, stating that it's the software of life going into our genes with this shot. Then it was a Zuckerberg in a private meeting that got exposed where he said RNA and DNA, he said, we don't really know what's going to happen, you know, in the future. Isn't that nice? You're the experiment people. And then also that was Elon Musk saying that they could turn somebody into a butterfly and how wonderful that was, I guess. So they're pretty. Butterflies are pretty, but I don't really want to be one. So here we are with all this news right now, with this horrendous year, with this shot that they keep telling everyone they have to have and all of these things. And what we're going to be talking about a little bit too today, I just wanted to preface this before you launch in, Gary, is the question of the flood and why humankind possibly had to be wiped out. Why do they have to go that far? Why did God have to go that far? And this will really get the wheels turning for a lot of people to look at what we're doing right now and see maybe some similarities in what's going on. But I just wanted to sort of preface that question because you do pose a very interesting question that I had never thought of before.
It's a very, very good question and a very, very good point. So I guess the first thing I would say to start off is that the flood just is not a biblical story. It is in all cultures, all religions, on all continents, all around the world, except for Antarctica, and who knows what we might find there down the road.
Yeah, really.
Which is another rabbit hole, but staying on topic, it is a subject that is in over 500 root cultures as it expands out through history. So the idea that the flood is just sort of completely attributed to myth, you can't really ignore the mathematical and sort of impossibility of all of that happening. And there's a lot of other common history that you just can't dismiss because you're going to get the mathematical zero on the permutations and the combinations. So when we look at the flood, this is a worldwide flood that's recorded in, as I said, in all civilizations around the world. And as we're told biblically, it is a world that was a paradise that was turned into something that would be more like an enslaved culture worldwide. And in polytheist cultures, they tend to record that as the demigods or the giants or the heroes of Greek mythology or the Anunnaki of the earth of Sumerian mythology or the Myosi of Chinese mythology and on and on and on around the world. started out good as they controlled the world, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but turned to evil and led the world to destruction through war in the things that they did. But biblically, we get something that's even more important to understand with what they did, which is really important to understand what you were talking about in terms of DNA manipulation and crossbreeding of species and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
What the Bible says is the whole earth was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the violence that most people think about, not just being sort of godless and not recognizing and honor the God of the universe, but absolutely corrupt. And that's the Hebrew word chakath, which means ruined, destroyed, decayed.
Right.
And the whole world was. So that includes not only the plant genomes,
mm-hmm.
but all of the animals. And
Whoa.
What's important to understand about that is that we're only now reaching that level of technology to be able to do that. And so when you bring in, as in the days of Noah, in the signs of the times that Jesus predicted as one of the overarching signs with the fig tree generation,
mm-hmm.
we need to be understanding what happened both 350 years after the flood and 350 years or 600 years before the flood, which were the days of Noah, words aren't exactly used by Jesus to describe what we need to understand, and that technology was greater than what we have today.
Yeah.
We're just catching up to that.
You know, I don't think
and
a lot of people realize
we have
that.
A ways to
yeah.
go.
They don't realize that. They don't. We've done some shows on that where we've proven and we've shown the different, you know, like the water systems and all the different kinds of things we did back then. And we tend to think that we're the smartest crew on the planet at this point in time. And I'm going to look around you. That ain't true, sister. but we tend to think that way. We pat ourselves on the back, but that's not true. They had a lot of technology back then. And you're right. This question, I don't think I'd ever really questioned the fact that why, because you think that people, they can repent or they can change their ways. Why did he have to wipe everybody out, saving a few? Why did he have to do that and go that far? And I don't know if people ever really think of that, you know, why? I mean, that you're, like you said, the animals and the people. Wow.
Absolutely. And when you think about the wording in the Bible for the story, God calls all the animals as representative kinds or species, which it should be probably better translated as out of Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
that would start the world anew, that were clean from this corruption.
Right.
And so the reason why they're called is because the whole world was corrupt. And then if we start to match up what we learn from other cultures, particularly Greek mythology, mm-hmm. Sumerian mythology, and Egyptian mythology, and history and religion, is that they were creating some of the most fantastical beings that most people think is just from the figments of their imagination, whether or not it's the centaurs that are created in a cloud by the gods, which suggests mm-hmm. some sort of off-earth DNA manipulation that's, you know, crossing three different kinds of beings, angelic or gods. You have mm-hmm. the animal mm-hmm. body and the human head. And they in prehistory is just loaded with them, whether or not right. it's Pegasus or it's Chimera, which is the popular term that's used in science today to okay. do this sort of crossbreeding and DNA manipulation.
Okay.
And in the Epic of Gilgamesh, we get that trifecta of crossbreeding that I like to talk about because mm-hmm. you have just to finish, as you have, let's say, whether or not it's Gilgamesh or Utnapishtim, who's the Sumerian Noah, who's a giant because he's one-third God,
uh-huh.
one-third human. No, he's two-thirds God and one-third human. There's three parts to it.
We're going to come right back. We have to break. We're going to come right back. More with author Gary Wayne, the Genesis 6 conspiracy, secret societies, and descendants of giants plan to enslave human mankind. We'll be right back, and make sure you go to frankspeech.com and sign up. That's the new Facebook, no censoring. Starts Monday, but be right back with Gary Wayne. Balance it.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe.
feels like that, doesn't it? A lot of people speaking,
yep.
A lot of people not listening. The words of that song are very interesting. That is Disturbed, The Sound of Silence. And I welcome you back and appreciate all of you that are listening, WCGO, KZNU, all the stations, Alabama, Oregon, Missouri. Thank you for tuning in, because this is just, I love topics that make me think. I love topics that are somebody that goes and does the homework, the research, and can bring it to the show and open up a new dialogue. Amen. Love that. Also, by the way, Monday, frankspeech.com. This will be the rival to Facebook. This is Mike Lindell, My Pillow Guy, and it launches on Monday. There's lots of press releases. You'll see some news on it today, and censor free. And so a lot of people jumping over to that platform, myself included. And I just wanted to let you know that this show will be one of their featured shows that the audience will be privy to, and I really appreciate that. It's going to be amazing. I've been on a lot of Zoom calls and everything else this week, and he's doing a tremendous job. Go to MyPillow.com and order products there. You're going to get the best sheets and towels, and MyPillow, the blue one, is the one for snoring, and you can only get it on the website. Order the blue label. The blue label one for snoring, the MyPillow. It's awesome and it works. And I just want to tell you, put in the code Kate and you'll get 30% off. You'll get 30% off, and it's quite a deal. And I'm telling you, it'll help support this show, and it helps support what Mike's doing. And Mike even bought his own servers. He bought his own servers. He is getting shored up, and he spent millions. And I am telling you, he is invested in this. It's going to be great. And frankspeech.com. All right. My guest this hour and next is author Gary Wayne, who has written the book. It's such an amazing premise and title, and I love that he's delving into this. The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and the Descendants of Giants Plan to Enslave Human Mankind. And I would imagine that reading for the audience must be Genesis 6. You must go and read this, exactly, right? It would help.
It would. It's where it all starts.
Exactly.
So, and then it'll go sort of back before, and then everything again that sort of rolls out of Genesis 6. But, you know, and it's one of those verses that, as, you know, when I came back to Christ, I was reading through the Bible, and I read Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and I just said, I'm not ready to deal with that. And I just sort of kept on reading, and I think most people do. But if you want to understand what's really going on today and what's going to happen and really how history and prehistory was shaped, you need to understand those four verses.
I agree with you. So when you're introducing this topic to people and you could come at it from so many things, because right now with what they're doing with DNA and RNA is so scary to me that I'm hoping that the audience understands the, you know, look at what is happening to our bodies and what they are forcing on us, because if this was ever about our health, people would want it. They wouldn't have to be forced into it, marketed into it, advertised into it. So they're definitely pushing this thing so that people out there can have a normal life, which should tell people volumes. But I'm sure that your book now, with the events now, because this was written just a couple of years ago, nowadays you must just be freaking out right now, the road that we're headed on.
There's always surprises along the way, but certainly directionally is what, you know, mm-hmm. one would expect if they're well read or well
You're
versed
right.
on,
You're
on
right.
an end time prophecy. But I have to admit, I've been astonished as to sort of how the pieces are coming together. Even though I talk about how it's going to be a left wing end time world government, I had not realized as to how deep they had already reached into the level of that type of political level, and even to the level of the oligarchs, which we're seeing becoming
right.
very, very prevalent in the West with the large corporations, and how they're involving themselves in politics right now.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away on that this last year. I was really, really shocked about that.
Disappointing.
It's disappointing. You think that people would be fighting against that more, but now we've got a lot of different type of enemies at the gate. So that's anyway, Uncle Milty.
Well, it just goes to prove that
right.
power is worth more than money.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about bloodlines too, because bloodlines are very interesting in this, are they not?
Oh, extraordinarily important, and it's one of the keys. And if you wanted to understand secret societies, you have to understand bloodlines, and you have to understand different kinds of religion, so you know how that sort of works. So mm-hmm. bloodlines are key to how the secret societies work and where the real money comes from. And these are the bloodlines that come out of the Nephilim that are before the flood, and or the Rephaim, which are the same name for the giants after the flood. And these are where all the dynasties came from, and the dynasties were usurped by the giants because of their great size and their great warrior status. And then they populated the nobility class, which set up the whole social structure or the feudal system, which I think is probably the most easiest way for people to understand it, that basically dominated our whole history, except for a short time in the West in the last, say, couple hundred of years of now. And now they're trying to reel us back. They're not trying to increase our standard of living. They're trying to bring us back to the level of the standard of living of the rest of the world and have this small elite nobility class that are ruling.
Okay. You know, you make this very, very convincing case for understanding, and I'm going to refer right back to Genesis 6:4, because when you read this, you're kind of blown, people I think will be are blown away when they really read this, but it's about the and it talks about the sons of God in Genesis to be fallen angels who copulated with women, humans, you know, earthly beings, to produce races of giants. Very interesting. People might have just kind of glazed right over that when reading it, but there's something there that's enormous to the preface of your book too. Very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the creation of that house of dragon, because those watchers were the seraphim angels, which are fiery serpent-faced angels, and where all the dragon allegories and the serpentine allegories that's associated with power, religion, kings, and gods were, that's the source. And so they were the governing angels of rebellious angels before the flood. And they're the same ones that create the same beings in the same way. Let's say in the Greek culture, where you have Poseidon, who's the brother of Zeus, who creates through climbing 10 demigod giant kings like Atlas, who's called a hero and a titan because it's used for both heaven and earth, that term titan. And in the same way, and that's defined as a demigod, which is defined in the ancient terminology as the offspring of a god and a human female. So it's identical, same story. And these are the royal houses that still exist today and that they track their genealogies back to.
So those bloodlines are key. I mean, they really track them. They're very interested in them and they want them. And when people read mythology, I mean, we obviously have mythology for a reason. How does it fit into the pragmatic world of right now, reality today? What is your premise behind mythology? Why do we have these stories and they keep going for the centuries?
It's a really good question. And when you dig into the mythology aspect, you understand that it is an extension out of their history and their religion, sort of a converging of that. And you can't really separate that. And of course, the Greeks would look at it as their history as opposed to mythology. So whether or not all of the details are 100% accurate or not, they're directionally accurate in terms of what happened. And when you start to match that up with the details of all the other accounts of the same types of events, and in this case, the creation of the giants all around the world, they are almost identical in terms of how they tell the same story, which again is totally inexplicable.
Right.
So,
and we have proof with the mounds. I mean, then we have the mounds, and there's a proof of the existence there. That's why I always crack up when people think it was a theory.
and the serpent mounds, and right. You know, you got that serpent imagery again, and you know, the serpent mounds are probably part of the civilization that either migrated south and back north or just north from the Aztec, which come out of the Quiche Maya and the Toltecs and those ancient peoples with those serpentine traditions. And the Quiche Maya have an account of the Xibalba, which are, you know, giants and demigods as well. And somebody wants to Google Camazotz, they're going to, and that's Camazotz, that's of the house of Xibalba, and you're going to get this image on the internet that looks identical to the Batman suit, because they're called in the Popol Vuh the house of the bat. They were actually bat giants, and so they have these incredibly different kinds of creations of these Nephilim and Rephaim after the flood and before the flood with the Nephilim that is recorded, as I said, the same all around the world. So we need to understand that there's a lot of history that is accurate, and that when you start piecing all of this together, mm-hmm. we need to understand what happened, because that brought along the first apocalypse. And the Atlantean scenario that I had mentioned was considered the helm of world government with 10 kings. And you have the secret societies, in this case, the Club of Rome, which would answer into the Committee of 300 of Purebloods, which was created, the Club of Rome in the late 60s, separated the world into 10 groups of nations or trading blocks or right. spheres of influence
yes.
that we see coming about now. And in the Bible and prophecy, it predicts these 10 empires of the global government of the end time.
Whoa. Mind blow. Okay. And you're right, because I've studied that history of the Club of Rome. So leading up to this, I mean, when I'm looking at the tampering going on with DNA, and I'm looking at all these things, it should give people a glimpse into what was going on then too, because there are books that were not put into the Bible that exist that you reference in the book too. They just weren't included in the works, but very interesting the things that it says about the things that we were up to with animals and the things that we were doing at the time, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were doing all of these kinds of things. And what people don't know is that the secret societies, and particularly the ancient Masons, and Freemasons are kind of an extension of a larger ancient organization, but the ancient Masons of the Royals, they take their creation and have recorded it, and I've got all of the references in the book, so people don't have to worry about where I'm getting that information from. They take their creation back to the same time as the creation of the seven sacred sciences by Enoch, son of Cain. And there's two Enochs in the Bible, one son of Jared, which is the one that was taken to heaven, and Enoch, son of Cain, who develops the knowledge into the seven sciences. And then it marriages with the illicit knowledge of the angels or the gods in the sixth generation when the Nephilim are created, and you get this organizational structure that is set up that's going to take the world into apocalypse. And that knowledge absolutely took off on an unprecedented level with that emergence of the knowledge from the gods with the seven sacred sciences that we know as the seven liberal arts today that are taught. And we're seeing the same kind of rapid advancement of that knowledge with the same kind of application to the knowledge as we saw in the past, as we're witnessing people trying to set up a coming together with a global government and global cooperation.
Whoa. Okay, we're going to come right back with author Gary Wayne. Wow. Just digesting. Your book is fantastic, by the way. People ought to get it. It is really good. And it's called Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and Descendants of Giants Plan to Enslave Human Mankind by Gary Wayne on Amazon. You can get that too. Be right back with author Gary Wayne. Don't go anywhere.
Santa Clara Drive.
Now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show, a little Louie for you. And I have Uncle Milty with me. Hiya.
Hey.
And make sure you get over to Balance of Nature, a fantastic product, and it really can help you with your health. And if you're feeling ill, as Uncle Milty was, he doubled up on it. And so,
twice a day.
And your color's back, and I love that. And so make sure that you get Balance of Nature. Go to balanceofnature.com, put in the code word Kate, K-A-T-E, and you'll get 35% off and free shipping. And what's wonderful about this product is you can try it out. You can try it out. If you don't like it, you can send it back. Isn't that amazing? And I'm telling you, the feedback I'm getting from everybody is they love the product because they feel the difference. And isn't that the most amazing part? You want to, when you order something and take something, you want to make sure it's doing its job.
Absolutely.
Balanceofnature.com. Put in the code word Kate. Don't forget the code word Kate. And you'll get those savings. My guest in the show today is author Gary Wayne. And the premise is so fascinating to me because he talks about the crimes of creation. And, you know, with Elon Musk saying we could turn somebody into a butterfly, and with the RNA and DNA going on right now, I surely hope people are really thinking about the tampering with creation. Because when Gary posed this question of, you know, well, why did the flood have to go that far? Why did God have to wipe everyone out? Were we beyond help at that point? There was no turning around. And of course, when you know, the possibility there of the crimes against creation and humanity that might have been going on pose a very, very interesting dialogue that we need to be thinking of right now. So I really appreciate Gary on the show. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Do you want to speak to crimes of creation?
Yeah, it's one of those really important concepts that people don't tend to think about or look upon. But when you had the creation of the giants, this was an intercession of the divine gods or fallen angels who were taking a physical form, because they're spiritual beings from a different dimension, just as heaven is a different dimension, but they're taking a physical form in the physical world to interact. And they're going to create offspring with human females, and are creating demigods, which are gods in the physical world. And that is a law that was not permitted, let alone anything that violates creation. And the first book of Enoch sort of deals with this subject significantly. But again, it's recorded all around the world, so we mm-hmm. know this is something that happened. And so biblically, this is the crime that leads to the apocalypse by water and the destruction and parading humankind and enslaving them into changing their DNA through the science and the knowledge that they had developed from the original seven sciences that merge, as we talked about previous, with the illicit knowledge from heaven, from the gods, that accelerated this knowledge to a level that is greater than what we have today, but we are quickly catching up. So when we look at that crime, what the punishment is, as Jude 1:6 would talk about in the prison or the pit of the Old Testament or in Tartarus that would come out of the Greek mythology, this is the prison that is holding the impassioned and the worst of the fallen angels that will also be released in the end time, as Revelation 9 records, as we head into the last 7 years. And these are the ones who created these giants. And one would also expect that the bodiless spirits of those demigods, because the bodies died out, but they weren't allowed to go to sleep or go to heaven or were wandering. But the worst of those spirits, which we know as demons, are locked in the sides of the abyss, as we're told in Ezekiel 31 and 32. They'll be coming out as well. So this is the violation that caused the apocalypse. This will be as in the days of Noah, which is that overarching sign of the end time that I talked about, mm-hmm. will be part of what happens in the end time. So we're going to be destroying or recreating or re-engineering all of the plant genomes, all of the DNAs all around the world that includes human beings. And the example of that would be only 8 were deemed pure enough to restart the world after that corruption.
Jeez. Really, when you put it like that, I hope people are having this light bulb moment right now.
Yeah.
Because we kind of take this story for granted a little bit. We've repeated it a lot and refer to it as folklore and everything else, but people don't really delve into, like you have, why that actually had to happen. Interesting.
Well, and when it starts to line up with so many other things that we're seeing today,
mm-hmm.
I think instinctively people know something's not quite right.
Right.
They can't really put their finger on it. They may not be ready to deal with the size of what's not right, because you can look at so many different things and say something's not right. And in particularly with all of this DNA manipulation and genome manipulation, and now it's extending into the healthcare as a delivery system for messaging in the cells, which is not the B system as end time Christians might look at it as, but is a stepping stone that will merge with other technologies that will probably be that system. But it's that first sort of step as being the delivery system that people are going to actually ask for this so that they can have longer life and not be ridden with diseases. And we've seen a large pandemic, and we've seen some sort of echoes of smaller ones that have been coming over the last 20, 30 years, whether it's SARS or whatever. This is going to continue. These are part of the birth pangs, that these pandemics are going to get stronger as we go. And that delivery system of these vaccines in a way that's quick and fast, as opposed to the drawn out things that we're seeing today, are going to be delivered. And the most effective vaccines that we've seen in this particular pandemic is those RNA type of vaccines that are messaging into the cells. You start connecting that with AI and mm-hmm. quantum computing and all the other technologies with an implant system, mm-hmm. and you've got something you should be very, very afraid of that's coming down the road at some point in time.
Right. You remember the 2005 Pentagon meeting where they were talking about the God gene, and they were asking how they could do this on jihadists, right? And that was the premise. Oh, we got to get those jihadists. And so they talked about the God gene, and they talked about the removal of that, a spiritual place in your brain when it lights up when you're praying or that type of thing. And they said that they could dull that. And they asked how the audience of the Pentagon asked how they could, you know, do this. The author of this said, well, what we could do is deliver it in a vaccine. And that would pretty much, you know, going to go to everybody. It's going to go to everybody. And so when I think about the dulling of the senses of spirituality in the future, if that's the case, okay, because this was clear back in 2005, if they can take this and they can dull that, then that would actually maybe lend itself to people doing things that they probably never would have done if that sense is that dulled. Did you want to comment on that? Because I'm trying to think what would bring people like myself or people that I know that would be drawn in to a society that looks worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, you know?
Yeah.
And so did you want to comment on that at all?
Well, I think it sort of builds on that allegory that Karl Marx talked about was an opium for the masses. I mean, they've been doing it through, you know, things to keep us distracted, but to do what they would really like to do to bring about this one world state and this one world belief system, you're going to have to do more than the preparation brainwashing. You're going to have to medicate them somehow, some way, and have them wanting to take it. So the best way to do that, on a speculation basis, of course, would be to put that new technology within a vaccine, which people are demanding. And what's also very interesting as we talk about this, if you go back, I think, about 3 years at the Davos meeting, where you get all of the rich and the powerful that are meeting on how they're going to move things forward, mm-hmm. they thought moving the implant bot nanotechnology system that they were talking extensively about was the best way to do it was through the healthcare system and through medications. And so you see those lanes starting to come to this nexus point where they start working together. And so if you want to get most of the people dumbed down to accept what they're preaching and what they're implementing, then you do that through a health scare and with the appropriate vaccine that has that other technology to do that. So at some point in time, people are going to a certain mm-hmm. degree, rebel right. against that.
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
going to be where it gets really interesting as to how do they deal with the people who aren't going to accept what the globalists Ooh. Are selling.
Wow. You know, and you're right. And I was thinking about that Time article I brought up in the beginning of this hour, and the embryos that are part monkey, part human raise ethical concerns. Now, they write that, okay? And so people think that somebody out there must be concerned about the ethics, right? And that somebody's doing something about said ethics, but they're actually not. They don't really care. They throw that out there to soft sell this kind of stuff to us because this is about an embryo being half monkey, half human, and Time magazine mm-hmm. acts like this is the best discovery ever, right? Well,
don't you want a new heart when you need one?
Oh my gosh, go right ahead. Yeah. Who knows? Well, people aren't. I don't see anybody actually doing anything about the ethics, is what I'm saying. But they keep throwing it out there.
And I write a little bit about that in my book about this technology, mm-hmm. is that there is none, you know, for lack of a better analogy, there is no Ten Commandments of the advancement of these technologies, you know, and you get the same sort of scare system with AI. I mean, we all know from watching the, you know, the preparation movies of science fiction what happens when you create AI. We know what the probable likely outcome is going to be. It's not good, but yet they continue to develop it anyways. And they seem to think that they can control it, but there's nothing there to prevent them from doing anything that they want. And in the age of global alliances and organizations, they can just move the development of these things anywhere they want in the world, where there may, you know, if they've got a law restricting it in Canada or the United States or England or somewhere else, they can go to another location and develop what they want to do in that other country without any oversight. And so one should also expect with all of that, that you're going to see disease targeted to specific people as a weapon of war.
Wow.
Because they have that DNA mapping and understanding right now, why wouldn't it? So if you were a superpower somewhere else in the world and you wanted to get rid of a superpower that was rivaling you, could you create through the DNA banks and hacking of the systems and whatever else enough information to target a particular disease to attack those people? Probably the answer is yes, or at least it will be at some point in time.
Wow. I've always been kind of curious and a little just concerned about the push for, hey, send in your sample and get your family tree and how they made it, you know, because this is like the wife of the Google guy that did this. And I just have always had this pit in my stomach about it, about what were they doing with that? And so it just kind of, that just kind of clicked when you said that. Anyway. Yeah,
and genealogies and blood banks,
yeah,
and all of that information that is being pooled that can be used for good or evil. And that's always the issue with knowledge and data banks and things like that and technology. It's always a two-sided coin.
Yep.
Wow.
And the concern is if it is under the control of a very few people, as in a globalist society, who would be running the globe, then you have power beyond imagination and control and nothing to prevent them from doing what they want to do.
Absolutely. This Time Magazine article, you know, it isn't the first article that shocked me. There's been many, especially in this last decade. And you know what? We're the frog in the proverbial hot water. I think we don't realize where we're headed. We don't want to know. And then also it's hard to recognize where we're at. I think a lot of people just don't think it's as far as it is, right? Has gone as far.
Yeah.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. And we are moving at a pace that we can't imagine. You know, when in my younger years, we were developing knowledge at every 5 years. And before that, it was 10. And in the last 200 years, it keeps shrinking. Mm-hmm. And 5 years was the, you know, about 20 years ago, what that double rate was of the knowledge. I can't imagine how fast it's doubling today. So how fast that we're going to get there. But I also would caution people who are too apocalyptic that you don't get ahead of the events, right? Because if you're wanting to help people and inform them, if you're saying the end is tomorrow continually and it doesn't happen, you lose your credibility. So you don't want to get too far over your skis on the chronology in terms of the events and how they come together.
I so agree with that. It always takes longer than we think on everything. So if they wanted to, you know, at the start of the 30s and 40s and 20s, they would have done what they could do in a decade, but it's taken a long time. And that's why I agree with you on that. Don't be too apocalyptic and really have it register kind of where we're at right now. We'll continue this conversation on in the next hour. Author Gary Wayne. And the book is, let me get to this quick, the Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and the Descendants of Giants Plan to Enslave Humankind. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com for the podcast so you can share this, located on the bottom of the homepage. Be right back.